sure loves to fish.
Welcome back to Fishy Radio. I'm Dee, and I'm here with my two girls, Heather and Jeannie. Jeannie,
hey.
Tell our people what's up.
Heather.
What's up?
Hey.
I never could do that.
What is that?
I can't
like
do
it.
You gotta have that really long face. You gotta open your mouth. Yeah. Oh,
thank God this is radio.
Anyway.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I do have a face for radio.
Yes.
My mom always told me that.
So, coming back after a long vacation.
Happy New Year.
From the holidays. Which we are all so thankful they are gone.
Hey, can we answer that on the air?
Oh, I hope not. Probably want to sell you some car insurance.
Oh, okay.
Or a warranty.
Or a warranty on your car that you don't have. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about some wintertime fishing, which some people from the north might not call this wintertime, but to us,
it is downright
it is
cold.
Downright atrocious out
frigid.
Right now. So we're going to talk about how fishing changes in the wintertime versus the not wintertime, I should say. Not necessarily summer, but...
Where do we begin? Like,
we really only have two seasons, summer and winter, right?
Well, exactly. Everything is drastically different between summer and winter when it comes to fishing. When it comes to navigation, when it comes to the water, the fish, everything is so much different.
Yes.
So, dang, where do you begin on that one?
Man, I tell you,
we can
start by the tides. What tides?
Ooh.
Tides. You say there's tides.
Tides. The tides. Winter tides. Suck for a lack of better words.
I mean, they're non-existent, really.
Yeah, we get of course we get the negative tides in the winter time, which makes navigation challenging.
Yep.
If you have a boat that drops any more than 10 to 12 inches of water, it can be very challenging.
Yeah.
But if you have a smaller boat that doesn't draft any more than 10 to 12 inches of water, it can be really great too.
Yep.
Because you're able to get up back into those places where, because we don't have any water, all that water pulls out from the mangroves, and then the fish are holed up.
Yes.
Unlike summertime when you get the high tide and then the water's so high that those fish can be anywhere and they can be 20 foot back in them bushes, So that is a good thing about, our negative tides is the fact that the fish are holed up. Once you find some water, they're going to be in that hole.
Of course.
More than likely. Trying to keep warm. On a sandy bottom, or probably not on a muddy bottom, or on a sandy bottom where that sand holds some warmth, in the canals. They're in the canals a lot because the concrete holds warmth.
Yeah. Well, you see them out a lot too, like say out in the sun.
Yeah.
A lot more.
I mean,
they might not be tucked up under the mangroves because there's no water on the mangroves, so they're not there. But usually if you do see them out in the open, they're out there in the sun. They're bathing because they're just as cold as everybody else.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, if you can get out there in that 50-degree weather, and hopefully it's not blowing 20 knots, if you've got a boat that runs skinny and you can get out there, you can learn all sorts of stuff in our negative tides.
Absolutely.
You do have to be really careful, especially with the oyster bars. We have oyster bars everywhere, but, I mean, you'll find them holes.
They stand out like a sore thumb.
They do. It's a great time because, then when summer comes and our water fills up and then it turns brown and, we get all that tan and stained water in here, now you know where all them holes are.
That's right.
So there's pros and cons to our negative tides, but it really does make navigation tricky if you're in a boat,
And, high tides, super high tides versus negative tides. I mean, like you said, super high tides, man, you could almost be... It don't take much effort to find the fish because they're literally everywhere. They can fish.
Right.
They can swim anywhere they want to go. And the negative tides, you got to get a little more creative. It's not as easy as just throwing it up under the mangroves or the bushes anymore. Now you got to go hunt them down. You got to find out where they're at.
Find the holes.
They're not under the mangroves.
Yeah,
they're not
yeah.
in the shallows
yep.
for sure.
Yep. And that's both live bait and artificial. Even summertime, you find a hole, you can throw live bait in there, and they're there. Or you can do it's just, when you get them, when they're holed up, You know, it doesn't matter what you throw at them. They're ready to eat. As long as you're on the backside of that front, too. And that's another thing about, you know, another thing about the winter fishing is, you know, we don't have a solid winter here. We have fronts, you know. Yeah. It's 50 degrees one day and it's 90 degrees the next day and we all have pneumonia.
Everybody has to call in sick.
Right, exactly. But we get them, you know, the fronts. So it's even more challenging. So not only do you have negative tides, so if you have a boat, you really need to know where you're going. But then you have the front, so now you need to know what time you need to go. Do you go ahead of the front? Do you go during the front? Do you go behind the front? Mm. So, you know, when are those fish chewing? Wintertime's extremely tricky.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is, like I said,
all the way around, whether it's the tides, the bait, the fish. I mean, it's not as easy as just going out there. You know, sometimes, like in the summertime or those high tides, people say, if you can't catch a fish right now, I'm going to take your salt life sticker down.
Right,
you don't deserve to have that, okay? This is the time of year you earn that sticker.
That is absolutely true.
It's a lot harder. Like you said, you have to hunt them down. It's like a scavenger hunt kind of, you know?
It's true.
It's not the same as just, like, finding a mangrove, putting your power pole down and throwing it up underneath there and hoping for the best.
Well, right. You know? I mean, at this point, it's just a challenge getting there. So, you know, I spend more time during this time of the year. I spend more time pushing my boat than I spend doing much anything else because there's not even enough water out there for my trolling motor.
Yeah.
I can't even run my trolling motor. Yeah. I'm push-pulling my boat from the pulling platform or I'm just down there that dang thing.
It's pretty bad when your trolling motor runs aground, you know what I mean? You're in a bad scrape when that happens.
It does. Yeah. So, you know, just getting there and finding some water to fish in, you know, is challenging. And then again, like I said, you know, getting ahead of the front or knowing when them fish are going to chew. So, yes, you're absolutely right. We definitely earn our salt life sticker right now.
Absolutely.
But that's what we're doing right now. So fishing for, well, me at least, the fishing's great, but fishing sucks.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens is I work full time. And so
I'm sorry.
I know, right? I wish I could fish full time and work part time. That's what I'm going for here. But you know, we don't have wintertime, we just have fronts. So what always happens, it's Murphy's Law, it never fails, is, you know, Saturday and Sunday, that front's coming through.
Yeah.
It's blowing 40 knots out there.
No doubt.
And I can't get on the water. And then Monday, the front pulls through. Yeah. Monday, it's 6 knots.
Yeah.
Beautiful and sunny and everything's
52
great.
52 degrees.
Yep, exactly. I get out of work at 5. It's dark at 5:30. Yeah. And, you know, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
And it's really nice throughout the week. And then guess what? That thing's coming back
right
on
back
Friday.
Again. He's coming
Friday,
right back
so
again.
Now Friday, Saturday,
like
and Sunday, we're back up to blowing 30 knots. But Monday's beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, it's just like, you know, we have the summer rains, and sometimes you can almost guarantee they're going to rain at 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you know, it's the same time every day.
You can set your watch
every
to
day.
It. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Same thing in the wintertime with these fronts. It seems to come at the very end of the week, so the weekend kind of gets...
It does.
Screwed up.
But the fishing's great. So I see a lot of people, pictures on Facebook and stuff. Everybody's got these great big fish. I did get to go out a couple weeks ago. You had mentioned the jacks were playing pretty good. I found some jacks. They were playing the fishing's great if you can get out there.
Yeah.
But because right now, like you said, we're earning our keep.
Yeah.
You know, it's challenging finding the time to coordinate with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You know, of
get
when
on her,
she decides.
Get on her schedule.
Okay, exactly. When we can go fishing. So, yeah, it's the fishing itself is good. The finding that schedule is what sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Florida girl through and through, don't get me wrong, but I can handle the cold weather, but you put the blow down on the cold weather, that's just something. I'm not Mm-mm. that anxious to go fishing, you know what I mean? I love fishing, that's my life, basically, but I gotta draw the line somewhere.
I'm the same
but it's,
way.
The fishing is so good, and then if you don't go, you think you're missing out, and then you hear about people, well, we went, it was 52 degrees out, what do you mean you went?
Right.
You know?
You know, I love the fishing. I am not a fan of cold weather. Like, I cannot handle cold weather. It goes straight to my bones, I think. It's just because I'm old, whatever.
Cold,
I just
but
hate
the wind
cold.
And the cold, I cannot.
That's my biggest problem. I could, especially during the like during the day, if it's a Saturday and it's really super cold, but that sun comes out during the day, it's pretty nice. You can stand on the front of the boat and just bake in that sun, and it's pretty okay. Yeah. But you still have to get that boat on plane to get there.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I'm like,
yeah,
I don't mind being there, but I don't know that I want to get there. Because that ride is going to be
no doubt
super cold.
And then just a little bit of water boat spray on the top of that, man. I'm telling you what, it's done.
I mean, cold will turn me into a 2-year-old, yeah, but cold and wet.
Like crazy.
Yes. Cold and wet, and I'm ruining everybody's day. Forget it.
One thing, though, too, not necessarily the wind, because there really is nothing you can do with the wind other than find you a spot out of the wind, but with the negative tides, you really can't, you know what I mean? So along the shoreline, especially back, you know, on the island, Pine Island, up next to the shoreline, it's 1 foot of water on high tide. So on the negative tides, you got 5 feet of bottom before you, after the seawall.
Yeah.
So how are you going to do that?
It's like a beach on both sides of the canals. It's it's crazy.
Exactly.
You get a little bit further upriver, and it's absolutely that way. You get up, you know, upriver, it fluctuates big time. Our tides fluctuate big time up there. Yeah. So you go over the bridges, and it's literally a beach on both sides of the mangroves, on both sides of the creek. I mean, you could just get out there and walk across.
That's crazy.
Don't need to unload the boat. Just go for a walk.
Yeah.
But again, you know where all the fish are.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
They're all holed up in that little section of water that they got right there.
So, you can wade fish out there.
Yeah. But wintertime is usually the, so I don't know, you know, how you do it, but wintertime is usually the time that we put our live bait away and we bring out artificials. So you are the live baiter. Well, what do you do? Do you...
Well, in the wintertime, we moved to sheephead is a huge deal. And to be honest with you, I will admit, I mean, born and raised on Pine Island. But I will admit that I always thought a sheep's head was just junk fish.
Right.
Like, who in the would go through and pick all them little bones out? That's tedious. But I'm telling you what, within the past 2 or 3 years, I've actually eaten a sheephead. I tear them suckers up, buddy. They are good. If you have enough patience to get through the bones, they are some good fish. So, with that being said, fiddler crabs. I mean, we use shrimp, but I think I use a little bit more towards the pinfish in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm backwards. I don't know. Maybe somebody can tell me. I don't know. But pinfish and fiddler crabs usually. And chunk bait. Chunk ladyfish.
Yep.
Ladyfish. Tons of ladyfish out there right now. Nice fresh chunk bait, you know, on the bottom. That's how I catch my redfish.
Yeah.
Shrimp, not so much.
So do you take your when I use a pinfish, if I use live bait, I'll take the pinfish and I'll flay them up both sides and then throw them out there, and the redfish just absolutely
they
love that, right? Because now I've got that scent going on out there. Plus Do you fillet your pinfish, or do you just throw them out their hole, or do you cut them in half?
I just usually put them out their hole.
Okay.
And I put the hook through their nose. I know that some people go, why do you do that? Well, I do it because I found out, and I don't have a real scientific reason or how it works out or why it does, but I just seem to get hooked up better like that. I don't know if it's just, obviously it's the position of the hook, because a lot of people put it through the top fin, right?
Yeah.
Or behind the top fin, usually.
Yep.
Or in the tail. I don't. I put it right through the nose.
Now, are you after anything with that? Or are you targeting
snook and redfish?
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Like I said, instead of using shrimp for redfish and snook, I either use chunk bait's a good one too. Chunk bait other than pinfish. I probably find myself using more chunk bait than anything, to be honest, real honest with you. Especially, like you said, when you get the negative tides and you have these potholes, per se, or like these little lakes. Man, there ain't nothing about putting about an ounce egg weight on there with a big old chunk of mullet or a chunk of ladyfish, nasty, stinky, and just casting it into that pothole.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like that.
Right.
You can't really do that with a shrimp.
Yeah. Nice. You know? So, do you ever put your live bait away during wintertime and use fake bait?
Well, this is the question. I'll say yes, I do. Yeah. I do. Tap water plugs.
Uh-huh.
I really, really like them.
All right. Nice. What's your favorite?
The poppers for the sea trout.
Yeah.
This time of the year. Yeah. I love them.
Which one?
The chuggers or whatever.
Okay. I got my pencil.
It's the Marilure.
What's it?
The Marilure popper. Yeah. I think it's like the 6-inch long. It's got the gray back on it, the white belly.
Uh-huh.
I think it has a red head or a chin or something.
Yep, yep. Okay.
I'm telling you what. Throw that sucker out there and chug, you know, pop it.
See, let's not in the popping cork.
Huh?
That I'll have to try. I've done the popping corks.
Well, popping cork, you usually use like a shrimp.
Yeah, or but something. I'll use gulp.
Or
I'll
gulp.
Use soft baits instead of hard baits.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good
on
too.
On a flat with a popping cork? Yeah.
Same concept.
Well, like a shad?
Yeah.
Like a white shad tail?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got out fished one time.
Ooh, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so, like, anyway, we went fishing and we were catching trout, and the person that I was fishing with had them white paddle tails. It was DOA, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Paddle tails with a chartreuse jig head, quarter ounce jig head, and with a popping cork. And I mean, they tore it up. I was fishing live bait because, of course, that's really all I really know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got outfished 1-4, 1-5 easily. I football kicked my big bucket off that bow of that boat. I football kicked that sucker. I was kicking a field goal. Pow! I mean, then I turned around. I think we went through like two friggin' packages of those DOA paddle tails, and we tore up the trout. I mean, so from then on, it pretty much sold me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I those shad tails are really, really, really good bait.
And them trout love them popping corks. You get on a flat, grass flat, pop that popping cork a couple times, they're right there. Like, they hear that.
Oh, yeah. It's like crazy. That's why them poppers, the Marilure poppers, Papa Dog, that's what they're called.
Okay.
Marilure Papa Dog.
Okay.
Yeah. Get those suckers, the big ones. The big long ones. Are they 6 inches, Heather?
Probably.
Something
close
like that. They're real
that.
Long
yeah.
ones. Snook. Mm, they can't resist it.
Hmm.
Can't resist it.
So real quick, I think we've only got a couple minutes left, but real quick for you know, anybody that doesn't live around here or might not know, let's talk about fiddler crabs real quick.
Okay.
Explain to us a fiddler crab.
Are little crabs that live on land per se.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the sand, but they're land crab for the most part. You'll find them around marshes or salt flats,
mangroves.
Yep. Seawalls.
But mostly they're a land crab, but they are the best sheephead bait ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think
True
I got
that.
2 dozen crabs, and I probably caught 10 fish on 2 dozen crabs.
So where are you getting your fiddler crabs? The bait shop?
Oh, yeah, the bait shop.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, you used to be able to go out there and get them all day long, you know, thousands of them. Thousands. We could have been rich as kids.
You know what I mean?
We could have sold them to the bait shop. We could have been rich.
So these little fiddler crabs, they're little itty-bitty tiny guys. They're about the size of a half dollar.
One big claw.
They have one claw on one side, and they move sideways.
Yeah, they all run kind of like, you know when you hit the white bait with the cast net and they come up and they all flash to the side?
Yep.
Well, that's pretty much the same thing with fiddler crabs.
Yeah, but like all move in unison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what they do is they have these little holes. They bury themselves in these little holes. So when they see you, they run to their little hole and they dive down inside their hole. Well, you can go over to their hole and you can kind of dig them out, mm-hmm. or you can push them toward the water to catch them. But any place that there's mangroves, like you said, marshes, but you can, we used to get them at, was it Lover's Key and Fort Myers Beach?
Yeah.
You could walk down there. I think they have a little park now, but back when I was a kid, it was just we went down there. But anyhow, you go down there, and it's all mangroves because it's right on the inlet there of Fort Myers Beach. All mangroves, and there's millions of them.
Yeah.
You just run down there. You grab them, scoop them up, put them in your bucket, and they are the absolute best sheephead bait.
Then
we'd take them. So we were fishing from land at the time, so we'd go to the pier, go out to the end of the pier, and just drop them right down the side of the pier.
Because
them sheephead like to eat the crustaceans, so they're
oysters.
They're eating. They're always around pilings.
Yeah,
always.
Fun fact: I saw a guy on the bridge yesterday on Matlache Bridge.
Yeah,
he had his fishing pole and his cart full of like his igloo and stuff.
Yeah,
and a freaking shovel.
he knows what he's doing.
They take that shovel and, you know, like the pilings at the dock, and you know, chisel them off, and it's like a chum.
It is, absolutely. They love it. I was on the boat just after Christmas, and I was going through the canals, and you could see on the pilings, you know, people's boat lifts on their pilings. You could just see them right there. They're kind of like triple tail, where they just, you know, sit right underneath the water. And the size of them dang things this year, I've seen some ginormous sheephead this year.
I have a question. Ginormous sheephead, when's the last time you found a gator trout? When's the last time you've seen a gator trout?
Girl, it's been
years, right?
It's been a while.
They're everywhere. The snook and the redfish are just oversized as they were. Snook's been shut down for so long that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I'm digging on I want the little rat reds. I'm digging on seeing some little babies. I want to see some in our nursery.
Yeah, heck yeah. But back to the filler crabs, you know, when I was a kid, there was this place called the Co-op. It's on island. It's a boat ramp, county-owned boat ramp. And you used to go back there and the kid, and the whole road looked like it would go to the left. That's how many filler crabs there were.
Yeah.
And we used to bury buckets.
Yeah.
Get some buckets and some pump, you know, bury the bucket on the ground.
Yeah.
Put some rocks in there because the water will pop them. When the high tide comes up, it will pop out.
Yeah.
So you got to put lots and lots of holes in them and then put a couple palm fronds over top of them.
Yeah.
Come back the next day and it'll be loaded with filler crabs.
Yep.
But also too, you'd be driving down Stringfellow Road, crunch, crunch, crunch everywhere. I mean, they were literally that abundant. I mean, when I was
there's literally different
kinds of filler crabs. Like, there's a filler crab, like a brown filler crab, and then there's like a mangrove crab. It's usually black, but it looks like a filler crab, but it's not really a filler crab.
Right.
It's a mangrove crab. They're a little bit different.
But the fiddlers live right there in the water, right inside
the
mangroves. There's Yep, absolutely. And those things are, they're great bait. They really are. They have that one little claw, and they will get you with that one little claw. But if you just go up to them and grab them by that claw,
how do you hook them on a hook?
So I take them, flip them over on their belly, and that's where I put the hook through the underside of them and just pull it out the top.
Just right down the middle of them?
Nine times out of ten.
I usually just hook them like a blue crab, like when it's harvest
season.
In the
side?
Yeah, through the side of their legs and then have it come out their back. I don't know. I'll have to try your way.
I take it through the back and I flip them upside down and put it underneath.
You put it through the bottom to the top or through the top?
No, from the bottom to the top. And so, then just let them go up. But they don't stay out there very long.
You know, no, like boom. Said, I mean, they hit them like
done.
Immediately.
We had a recipe this week that I think we ended up running our mouths a little bit too long. Can we throw the recipe in there real quick?
Out of time.
Dang it.
Have to wait till next week for the recipe.
Next week.
Next week I'll have
it was
to.
A good one,
I'll
too.
Give you I'll give you a little hint. What is it? Is it going to be?
It's grouper.
Grouper.
You're not going to tell them. Stay tuned till next week. You're going to love it.
Bye, girls.
Bye.
Bye.
Tight lines.